You're here, Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thee tonight, and believing, Lord, that you have come down with a shout in this hour. Believing, Father, you didn't come in vain, but you came with a purpose. That purpose was to declare yourself as ever you are. And Lord, we just humbly and reverently thank you, Father, that you've given us a mind that is ready to receive. Thus saith the Lord, for your prophet said, the bride shall have, thus saith the Lord, or she will keep still. Help us to be, Father, counted among those, Father, who have received the mind of Christ, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this evening we're going to continue with the Spoken Words Original Seed, and this is 187 in our series. I'm just going to entitle it One Mediator, and it's just a simple message tonight. But from paragraph 41, Brother Brown says, now Jehovah had a bride that he loved, and she went a-whoring. What does she do? After the other powers of the world. And what did he do with this godly old anointed prophet, which the word of God comes to the prophet? He carried that old prophet. Samuel walked up to him. He said, children, gather around me for a minute. I want to talk to you, all of you. What do you want? What do you want a king for? Jehovah is your king. What do you want a creed for? The Bible is your creed. The Bible is the truth. The creeds are lies. Your dead man-made apostles' creed. Show me that in the Bible. Whoever heard of such a thing? I believe in the communion of saints. Anybody that believes in the communion of saints is a spiritualist, communion with the dead. Now you see what Brother Branham is driving here is that Catholicism teaches its people that to commune with the dead saints because they are the ones who pander to praying to the dead saints. Then Brother Branham continues, said there is only one intercessor between God and man, and that's Christ. And he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore. He's raised from the dead. And then he goes on to say, Protestants swallow that down with a round collar, and I don't know what else, with all the catechisms of the churches, and swallow it right down the same. They love it, sure, like the rest of the world. So what I really want to focus this evening on is the thought that I feel is the essential thought coming forth. It's not so much about the creeds and people running after that kind of stuff. We've kind of hit those things. But actually where he talks about there's only one mediator between God and man. And that's Christ. And he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore. And he's raised from the dead. Now notice for those who do not believe the scripture and have no clue as to what Brother Branham taught concerning the man Jesus, he said there's only one intercessor between God and man. One, not two, not three, but one, and that's Christ. And he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore. He's raised from the dead. Now that's purely biblical. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. And again in Galatians 3 and 20, he said a mediator is not of one, but God is one. So why does he say this? Well, because a mediator is a third party in a dispute between others, two others. In fact, the dictionary definition defines mediator as one that mediates, especially one that reconciles differences between disputants, and that's plural. Now in Hebrews 12 and 24, Paul also said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Notice he said the mediator, not two of them, but one of them, and it is Jesus, the one who was dead and liveth evermore, to make intercession for our confession. The one who died was not God, it was the Son of God. And I can give you 18 scriptures that shows that God raised up Jesus from among those who are dead. So, and to become our high priest. Now, there's a certain preacher out west, or at least he claims to be a preacher, but he doesn't believe that the body of Jesus is up in heaven sitting at the white throne, or sitting at the throne of God. He actually believes that Jesus went back to the gases, and the body was consumed, I guess, and so that Jesus, the body, the man, no longer exists, that he went back to being God. You know, he came from being God, and he went back to being God. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, I came from being God. He said, I came from God, and I went back to God. Every son comes from his father, you know. Well, anyway, Paul says in Romans 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And William Branham said from Stand Still, he said, now notice, Christ the Son of God died and rose again and ascended on high, and tonight is the high priest of our confession, sitting at the right hand of the majesty of God, making intercession on our confession. Is that right? Everyone knows that. Well, apparently not everyone knows that, because apparently there are people who claim to follow Brother Branham who don't know that. And those people are making a mockery of what we believe, and making a mockery of what Brother Branham stood for. And again, Brother Branham said, he taught us from his message, Faith, he said, Christ, the Son of God, with his bloody garment, stands before God the Father tonight to make intercession upon any confession that you make in his redemptive blessings and claim them. Well, if Christ, the Son of God, with his bloody garment, stands before God the Father tonight, I don't understand what they're talking about when they try to say that Jesus went back to being gases and that he no longer exists and that he is just simply a... Well, who would want a mediator that's a gas bag? Can you imagine dialing up on the, you know, Yellow Pages and looking under gases for a mediator? I mean, when you go to a mediator, you're looking for, you know, a lawyer. You're looking for a man. You're looking for someone that's physical. You're looking for someone that you can talk to, that you can tell your side of the story to, so that he can make intercession for your confession. But these people, they just don't understand it. Now, from the message, at thy word, brother, at thy word, Lord, Brother Brown said, we look to heaven where Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God, maketh intercession with his own blood for our confession. Well, Hebrews 7:25 also says, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So if he died, and the Bible says he rose again, and they claim that, well, it actually wasn't him rising again because the body was totally consumed, and he went back to being, you know, to being God. I mean, well, the Bible says he liveth to make his intercession. He ever liveth. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So, where do they stand? I just can't figure out where these people come from. Now, you may not believe that anyone could profess to be a preacher of the gospel or even claim to believe the message of the hour that would deny the Son of God is ever living to make intercession for our confession. But I'm here tonight to tell you that they do exist out there. I'm telling you that there are those who right among us are feasting at the same table of the message and are totally blind concerning the scripture and teaching of the mediator, who is Jesus, the Son of God, who is a man born in a unique way, but certainly he was a man. Now listen to what this preacher teaches concerning the physical body of Jesus. He says, the physical body of Jesus Christ had a specific purpose in the plan of redemption. It provided the human kinship relationship to man, kinsman redeemer, and the channel for the Holy Spirit Father to taste death for every man. Jesus the man was a special creation for a set time. He was not born to fulfill the normal course of life as with normal mankind. Jesus was created to be sacrificed. Anything that is sacrificed is not kept, but totally consumed in its present state. Thus, the Lamb of God designation. The man was consumed in his entirety with its human nature and substance of flesh that was subject to death. Now, can you imagine? When Brother Branham speaks, and the scripture speaks in the book of Revelations, of the pillar of fire being at the top and then the Lamb. Well, if the Lamb is totally consumed, went back to the gases, then who is that called the Lamb of God? Huh? When the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that God places all things under his feet, until with the exception of God, who does place all things under his feet, well, whose feet are they? Gaseous feet? Made of clay? Maybe it's gaseous clay. You didn't catch my pun. Remember gaseous clay? Okay. Muhammad Ali. All right. Notice that this man teaches that the man, the body of Jesus, was totally consumed. Therefore, there was nothing of it left. Now, show me that in Scripture. In other words, the one making intercession for our confession is not the man Jesus, as the Apostle Paul states. So by what authority can this man speak anything contrary to what Paul is teaching us? Paul warned us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, not to teach anything but what he had already taught. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So Paul's saying, look, they're actually teaching another gospel, a different gospel. It's actually a perverted gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be cursed. As you said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, or what we have received, let him be cursed. Therefore, to teach otherwise denies the one who paid the price. Just as the Apostle Peter warned us of men who would come into the message and bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the one who purchased them. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 we read, But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So this preacher went on to say, this dead flesh body laid in the tomb for 3 days, during which time the Spirit of God that had inhabited the flesh descended into paradise. This invisible Spirit of God took on the Melchizedek body, word body form to accomplish this. When this purpose was completed, the theophany body swept up to the tomb and picked up the physical body, changing the elements to its theophany form. In this changed state, Jesus could appear and disappear. He could pass through walls and travel from place to place instantly. Then he said, the body that Jesus Christ died in is no longer a separate entity from God, but in fact went back to being God. Now what this preacher teaches, and so many like him, they totally deny the scripture and the teaching of the prophet. Hebrews 9 and verse 11 says, But Christ becoming an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers sprinkled the unclean sanctified through the purifying of the flesh. So notice, by his own blood, not some gas, he entered into the holiest by his own blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ, he says. Now remember, the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. God is spirit, he's not a body. God is spirit. That's what Brother Brown taught us. And it was the blood of that body, the blood of the testator that works on our behalf, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Offered himself to God. Now, if I say offered himself to God, there's two beings involved. One is God who's receiving what's being offered, and the one who's offering is not God. Offered himself to God. Then he says, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So who offered himself to God? That's the question. Well, the Son of God did. God did not offer himself to himself. That's so ludicrous. But Jesus, the Son of God, became the offering that God required. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now, as Brother Vail said, when language loses its meaning, you've got nothing but chaos left. And if son does not mean son, if father does not mean father, then what does it mean? You've got nothing but confusion and chaos. Verse 15, And for this cause he, the Son of God, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, his death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now listen, we've already stated this, but it demands repeating. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, there is but one God and one mediator between God and man. If he's between, he's somewhere between. You've got God here, you've got man here. Somewhere in between, you have the Lord Jesus, who is both God and... He was the God-man because God inhabited that body. All right. Now, but again, if there's one mediator between, then he cannot be mankind, and he cannot be God. He must be someone who is in between God and men, and that is the man, Jesus, as Paul said. And again, Paul says in Galatians 3 and 20, a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Why? Because a mediator is a third party in a dispute between two parties. And as I said, the dictionary definition of, defines mediator as one that mediates, especially one that reconciles differences between disputants. Now, the next few verses we read, I'd like to bear reading them again. In verse 16, it says, "For where the testator is, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead." In other words, the covenant of God wouldn't be in effect if it had not been for the one who was given the will had died. You see, put it this way: when you write a will, all right, that will does not go into effect until you die. Now, we have a covenant that it took the death of the Son of God, because when Jesus was given half of the inheritance on Mount Transfiguration, there was only 50% left, and God owned that 50%. That made Jesus and God co-equal at the time, all right, as far as what God had. However, we had a father who could not die. Now, in the Old Testament, when the father died, then and the eldest son had his 50%, and the rest of us got our inheritance after the death of the testator, after the death of the father. But the father couldn't die. So we have a problem. We have no inheritance. So Jesus, who had 50%, stepped forward. And he died so that we could become joint heirs with Christ. Now, being that that was the only body that God ever indwelt in the fullness, you have, in essence, and as Brother Branham said, that wasn't the blood of a Jew. That was God's blood. God placed the DNA there. God placed the egg and sperm together, created a body. A body hast thou prepared me. And that was placed in the womb of Mary. So that was the body of God. That was God's body. And it took the death of that body, which was the Son of God, to bring forth the elements, or to bring forth the testimony, or to actually bring into effect. And that's what Paul says, "For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now, he's not saying God is appearing in his own presence for us. He's speaking of two beings involved here. For Christ, now he is now in heaven to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, if you understand language at all, even an inkling, you understand that Jesus Christ is still ever living to make intercession for our confession. Next verse. "For yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, his death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, which they are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And now we find also in Hebrews chapter 8, "Now of things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Well, then how could, if Jesus was, you know, it was not in heaven, making intercession for our confession, how could he be a priest? He's saying, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So we see when we have people who claim to believe this message, and teach such things as that the body of Jesus is actually gone back to the gases, that it's no longer essential, that is, it has become a corruptible thing. As the man said, the physical body of Jesus Christ had a specific purpose in the plan of redemption. It provided the human kinsman relationship to man, kinsman redeemer, and the channel of the Holy Spirit Father to taste death for every man. Jesus, the man, was a special creation for a set time. He was not to fulfill the normal course of life as with the normal mankind, but Jesus was created to be sacrificed, and anything that is sacrificed is not kept, but totally consumed in its present state. Thus the Lamb of God designation, the man was consumed in its entirety with its human nature and substance of flesh that was subject to death. Now, if you can believe that and teach that, then according to Paul, you're under a curse. You're under a curse because you're not saying what Paul said. Now, I've read you half a dozen scriptures tonight where Paul said there's one mediator between God and man, and that mediator is Jesus Christ, and that God raised him from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God, he's ever living to make intercession for our confession. And Paul said in Galatians 1 and 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be cursed. As he said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, in Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Brown said, she mingled her seed illegally to the word. What was she trying to find? Now listen close. What was she after? Wisdom. Wisdom. And that's what she's done today. She's sent her preachers away to schools, incubated them out on a machine, psychology, all kinds of stuff that should not even be in the Bible. And she's incubated them her eggs. And when she's done, she brought out a product of a bunch of people that will compromise anything and refuse the very message of God, not knowing what she's doing. She's ignorant of it. She don't believe it. She don't think she's wrong. Neither did Eve think she was wrong. Eve thought that she was right. And if that was a type and this is an antitype, it'll have to work the same way the type did. Now that's just, and to me, that's just 2 times 2 equals 4. And we, let me just read Galatians again from the Message translation. We read it a few weeks ago. He said, I can't believe your fickleness, how easily you have turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. That's a modified message, one that's been tampered with. It is not a minor variation, you know. It is a completely another message, a different message, an alien message, a no message at all. It's a lie about God. Those who are provoking this agitation among you are turning the message of Christ on its head. Now let me be blunt. If one of us, even if an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we preached originally, let him be cursed. And I said it once, I'll say it again. If anyone, regardless of reputation or credential, preaches anything other than what you have received originally, let him be cursed. Do you think I speak this strongly in order to manipulate crowds or curry favor with God or get popular applause? If my goal was popularity, I wouldn't bother being Christ's slave. Know this, I am most emphatic here, friends. This great message I delivered to you is not mere human optimism. I didn't receive it through the traditions. I wasn't taught it in some school. I got it straight from God. I received the message directly from Jesus Christ. Now that's the Apostle Paul. Same thing with Brother Branham. So they do not recognize and realize that they have turned down life in favor of the curse. And all who teach such are under the curse of God. But the problem is that they do not even fear God anymore. And that is how mentally disturbed they've become. In Luke 6, verse 39, Jesus said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch?" Now that's an excellent question. But I think if you look around today, you'll find that the great majority of message churches where the people are blind, and they are blind, and they're following blind leaders of the blind. And as I said before, I'll say it on record again tonight, I doubt that 90% of the message preachers are even born again. Well, what about the people in the pews? If the people are blind following the blind, and those blind leaders, are 90% of them, are not even born again, what about the 90% what about the 100% that are following the 90%? That's why Brother Branham said, when the Bible says very few there be that find it, he means very few that will find it. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and realizing, Father, that there's not a whole lot to say other than what you've already said. And we've quoted every scripture that you've talked about Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. That he's a mediator of the New Testament, that he's ever living to make intercession for our confession. What can we say, Father, but what you've already said? And I cannot understand, Father, how it is that these men could make up in their minds fictitious gospels and making your son just some gaseous state right now. Done away with completely. They don't understand that at the wedding supper, who is it then that's going to wipe away our tears? Who is it when we go to meet the Son of God in the air? Who are we going to meet? You've come down. And you said in the seals that when the Holy Spirit, who is now in our midst, takes us up from the midst of humanity and becomes incarnate again, and his Son will crown him then, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we want to pray for these people. I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes before it's too late and condemn the eyes, Lord, or close the eyes of those who this message is not ordained to be received. Because there is a people that you have ordained to receive this word. And we pray, Father, humbly, that we might be found amongst that number. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What can I say? I cannot believe the folly that's being taught in the name of this message. I cannot believe when men have the entire Bible before them, they have 1,200 sermons of a vindicated prophet, and they look outside of that to get their messages. Brother Branham said that the world would be insane at the end time. They're about there already. You look at people out in the world, they've got ear pierces, nose pierces, tongue pierces, piercings on their neck, on their belly button, on other parts of their body. Tattoos, they look like lizards. They look like demons. It's incredible what's going on. But yet right among those who claim the message, they deny the words of a vindicated prophet. They deny the scriptures from whom the vindicated prophet said that he took his stand. And what have you got left? You've got nothing but confusion, nothing but error. We need to be praying, because the Bible speaks that at the end time there'd be a falling away from the faith. And it's happening. You've got over 2 million people following the message, so-called. And of the 2 million, just a handful, small handful in number, percentage-wise, that are even believing. Even believing. The Bible and a vindicated prophet. Well, God bless you all. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace. And give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace. And give thee peace. And give thee peace.